The Jewish hope in Jesus' day was that a king would emerge from their own peoples and would rule the whole world. That this king would be the God King who would usher in God's long-awaited rule and reign throughout the earth. The story goes that Jesus would be this king, but that he would be this king in a way no one expected. We have this story found in Matthew's Gospel, where Jesus wants to make a kingly appearance to all the people, perhaps a bit like how a world leader today would want a parade with them in a motorcade. But the way he wants to make an entrance would be very different to all the fanfares of the political powers that existed in this time. Instead of showing a lavish entrance, he would ride in a different way. And the way he would ride in would tell us something about who Jesus is, what it means for him to be king, and how he would do his kingdom. In the Gospel of Matthew chapter 21, it reads this. When Jesus and his disciples had come near Jerusalem, and they reached Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them here. Bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, just say this, 'The Lord needs them.'" The disciples went and they did as Jesus had directed him. They brought the donkey and the colt and put their cloaks on them, and he sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and that followed were shouting, "Hosanna, the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven!" And so ends the reading of the text. But Jesus comes in his kingly parade, riding on a donkey. Jewish zealots in Jesus' day were longing for a Messiah, this king, who would overthrow the political powers of Rome, which was the ruling authorities at the time, the Roman Empire. They longed that this Messiah would overthrow Rome, the Roman Empire, and that this Messiah would do it through violent force and establish God's rule and reign on earth through violence. That they would have a warlike Messiah. And actually, some of Jesus' followers thought that's what he would be all about. On the other end, you had the political juggernauts themselves, known as the Roman Empire, whose sole mission was to remain the global superpower. So they had armies, they had swords, they had spears, all in all to keep their grip on the world. So enter into this scene. Here is Jesus, about to do his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And instead of him riding in with armor on a horse, ready to do violent insurrection, like the longing of the Jewish zealots, he comes in riding peacefully on a donkey. Yes, a donkey. Listen, if this was happening in the 21st century, then the zealots would have been your violent super uber left-wing group, armed with Molotov cocktails, whose sole mission was to take down the man, the ruling government. And in today's context, the Roman Empire would have been any ruling government, of course armed with guns, tanks, and an arsenal of bombs, ready to be used if anyone dared challenge them. And of course, they would have had their conservative citizens supporting them every step of the way. And then there would have been Jesus, the one promised to lead a revolution. "Oh, that sounds nice," thinks the people with the Molotov cocktails. And yet here he comes, riding on a push bike. Yep, a push bike. The zealots would have been confused and ticked off. Those in power would be laughing. And Jesus would be writhing, showing through his actions that, yes, there would be a triumphal entry, because he would indeed be a triumphal king, a triumphal leader. But it wouldn't look like violent insurrection. And yet, with his insistence to continue riding in, it certainly wouldn't mean that he thought Rome would win either, or that in today's context, any of the governments would have their say as the final ruling authority over the world. Jesus is showing us what him as king looks like and what it means for his kingdom to win with a triumphal entry. His kingdom would come with peaceable, non-violent, donkey-like power. It won't come with Molotov cocktails, and also giving ultimate allegiance to those in government would be watering down his controversial message that he is indeed king and that Caesar isn't. Or to put it in our context, that he is the prime minister of prime ministers, the president of presidents, and that Turnbull isn't. That yes, we love our country, of course, and yes, we do pray for our leaders, recognize the need for some sort of law and order, and seek for the common good. We're not calling for anarchy here. We need those things. We need leaders. We need law and order. We need those who seek the common good, and we do indeed love country. However, doing these things, remembering that love of country is about being thankful for its gifts and challenging it to be a more just people, that praying for our leaders is fine, but never, ever over and against Jesus as the rightful Lord, whereby we wrongly elevate country above the country of God's kingdom that has claims to the entire earth with Jesus as its rightful Lord. Yes, we have a law and order, but never remaining content with unjust laws that don't reflect a more just society that we ought to long for in following in the one true King, Jesus. And of course, we never remain silent when the common good is thwarted throughout the nation. Because we follow a different leader. We follow Jesus, not as anarchists, not with Molotov cocktails, but not with a comfy allegiance to the government either, not taking seriously that Jesus calls himself a king, not in abstract theological terms, but in a very real world way. That we follow this king. And this is the staggering reality, that this king is on his push bike. And that we are called to follow him in push-like bike power. It's interesting that after this scene, his followers and friends started to go against Jesus one by one. Perhaps his disciples thought that his political vision was really bad. They were confounded by Jesus' political vision by being a donkey king. And yet, we see in hindsight that what was often viewed as the laughable reality of the donkey king was actually how Jesus would be king and ultimately win against Caesar, ultimately win against Rome. That evil would do its worst to him, but evil would not hold him down, which I will talk more about on Good Friday and Resurrection Sunday. But even us, when we see this kind of power, we are tempted to see it as stupid, as having no real effect for change. Would we have followed some roughed up bearded guy making some sort of makeshift bootleg procession down the street if he rode down the cafe strip on his push bike? Would we really think this guy would be in his rightful place? Even if he did weird and wonderful things like feed a bunch of rough sleepers miraculously, raise people from the dead at the hospices, stir up controversy to those church leaders who want to be more tamer and have a stricter religion, and gather a large protest-like crowd following, even with those things, would we really think this guy was in his rightful place, making such a bold move as riding down the cafe strip on his bike with the people yelling, "Here comes the king"? The question we now have to ask ourselves is this: will we abandon the Donkey King? Or will we take him seriously? Will we falsely believe either that of violent revolutionaries and insurrections, or the unquestionable allegiance to country? Or will we follow in the one who calls himself the true king? You see, a donkey might look silly in the same way a pushbike does. And yet, in this upside down and inside out way, Jesus shows us what true power looks like. That it looks like humility. That it looks like peace. That it looks like a little lamb. And indeed, as we shall see, it looks like a cross. And that though it looks weak, it's actually the greatest strength. Because this strength is a different kind of strength altogether. It's a flexing of the muscles, but it's a flexing of the muscles of peace and love instead of violence and indifference. It looks like Martin Luther King Jr. on the road from Selma. It looks like constantly loving those troubled youth who only make for gang violence. It looks like washing people's smelly feet after a long, hard day at work. And yet, in time, this donkey power wins. Sometimes in the here and in the now, oh, we've heard of glorious stories of changes both personally, communally, systemically, society-wise, on all levels, when people instead make for peace in following Jesus. So sometimes in the here and the now, we have that victory. But if not, then one day in the resurrection. And we'll talk more about this next week. But no matter when, we see, as we see this Palm Sunday, this power wins out in the end. And I'll end with this quote and this question. N.T. Wright says this: when God wants to change the world, he doesn't send in the tanks. He sends in the meek, the pure in heart, those who weep for the world's sorrows and aches for its wrongs. So will you follow in the ways of the Donkey King? That is the question I leave with you today. Well, the ways in which we have followed in the ways of this world, I know I have in so many ways. And yet we are called to take up our identity as people who follow in the rightful Lord of the universe in donkey-like power. So will we follow in the ways of the Donkey King this Palm Sunday and forevermore? Be blessed today. And goodbye.